Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Coming to you from Providence, Rhode Island, this is Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars. Everybody and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I know something the listeners don't know.
What?
My wife's a rock star.
Okay.
Well, we're going to talk about why she's a rock star this episode.
Oh my goodness gracious. No, I'm not a rock star.
No, you are. It's okay.
I just happen to like all things Scotland. I have Scottish heritage. And I do not have a fear of public speaking, which is shown whether it's on a podcast or on television as a TV host. And luckily, there's a way for my talent to join with one of my passions.
Well, no, you're a rock star. It's okay. You're like the Rhode Island Pat Benatar.
Gosh.
Stevie Nicks.
No. My goodness gracious. Please ignore Blake, my friends, as he is full of lies. Full of lies.
Joan Jett.
But I will tell you something. Over the past decade that we've been in the Outlander verse with Outlander Cast, my appreciation for all things Scotland and Scottish has grown even more than before. And Blake, you know, you don't have to our knowledge, you don't have Scottish heritage.
Not an ounce.
Now, granted, you still have to do that 23andMe thing that I bought you.
I still, for your
birthday,
and it's shocking that I haven't done it yet.
Everyone who knows you, all of our listeners, their jaws are dropping because you, of course, would want to know your background. But who knows? Maybe this fall we will find out.
The thing is, it's like once I do it, then it's real.
Yes.
And like,
it's real no matter what.
Yeah, I know, but maybe I want to have some romanticized version of what I am.
Well, you know, and this is a challenge to all listeners out there. You know, if you've never done your DNA testing and you're wondering, could you be Scottish? Yeah, just find out. Yeah. Go for it. Splurge. Get it for Christmas, for your birthday.
Hashtag not
a sponsor. No matter what, you can enjoy all things Scotland. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's through Outlander, whether it's through music, or whether it is through local societies like the one that we're going to be talking about today, because there are societies for people who either hail from Scottish heritage or enjoy Scottish culture all over the world. And we have a really special event happening with the one right here in Rhode Island. So let's get into this show. Joining us today are Patty Pereira and Jim Kelleher, both members of the Rhode Island St. Andrew Society and members of the 100th anniversary celebration of the Rhode Island St. Andrew Society Committee. Patty and Jim, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
For having us.
Absolutely.
All right, so to kick things off for a moment, for people who may not be aware, would you mind telling us a little bit about the history of the society?
Well, the St. Andrew Society of Rhode Island is 100 years old this year. It first started back in October of 1923. A letter was sent to a few Scotsmen that were living in the Blackstone Valley area. And on October 25th, they had their first meeting and became the St. Andrew Society of Rhode Island.
Now, how did the St. Andrew Society as a whole begin? You know, like where did this concept for for the society begin?
At least in America, it started in the 1700s. There was a society in North Carolina. There was also one in Philadelphia, which is still going to this day. And the Scottish people tend to like to help each other and take care of each other. They would pride themselves on being independent. So they'd make these societies for charitable benevolence and also for social aspects to keep their cultures and traditions going.
And how did it come to be here in Rhode Island? You know, my husband has a lot of Danish roots and Irish roots and everything. So when he heard about there being the St. Andrew Society here in Rhode Island, he had no idea. So, you know, is it common? Are there a lot of people here in Rhode Island with Scottish heritage?
Well, there's been a migration of Scots, a diaspora, obviously, throughout the world, beginning really with the clearances in the mid-1700s. And certainly some of those folks came to Rhode Island, but it was really the prevalence of the mills in Rhode Island that became sort of a magnet for expatriate Scots because of the skills that they had developed back in Scotland. They had ready-made jobs here. So, and eventually folks, you know, as Patty alluded to, our society was founded by some Scottish businessmen. So there were folks that prospered in that business and they would naturally gravitate towards hiring countrymen when they arrived. And Pawtucket, because of it being the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution in the entire United States, became sort of the epicenter of that.
And for people who don't really know the origin, how did the name St. Andrew Society come to be?
St. Andrew is the patron saint of Scotland. And Scotland was at one time a very Catholic country and therefore very saint-centered. And as we all probably know, the Stuarts were the last Catholic kings of England and of Scotland. So that became a focal point for the folks, again, who left the Highlands and left the clearances, were predominantly the Catholic Scots, and their patron saint was important to them, so thus the name.
So as we had all of these Scots come on over across the Atlantic and had the St. Andrew Societies begin to organize here in the United States, and of course we had our own here in Rhode Island begin, it has now morphed into not just people who have Scottish heritage, but more than that. So who are the current members in the Rhode Island St. Andrew Society, and what do they do?
Well, we have a membership, an active membership now of about 140. And years ago, the number was significantly higher than that, but a lot of cultural societies and social societies have kind of gone by the wayside. We've tried very hard to make sure that we keep our people engaged. We have folks from every walk of life you can imagine in our organization. We do some charitable work. We have social activities that we get together. We have our formal functions every year, a few of them. We have several informal functions. We have a whiskey tasting that we do every year that's kind of renowned in the southeastern New England area. And I suppose that's both social and cultural. we have a summer picnic just coming up a few days from now. And then, of course, we have our gala that we'll talk about a little bit later on.
And who gets to join? Is it just people with Scottish heritage like myself, or could my poor husband become a member?
We like to say that our organization is for Scots and Scots at heart. And I think that's probably true of a lot of cultural organizations because, you know, there was a time certainly here that you had, and purebred's a term we use for animals and not people, but you had a lot of purebred Scots, and that's not necessarily the case anymore as people came to the United States and assimilated into the so-called melting pot. So there was a time certainly that our organization was just for folks of Scottish descent, and eventually they opened the doors and had kind of associate members who were not Scottish, and those folks are now obviously full members. So,
how many St. Andrew's Society are there across the country? Is there one in like every state, or is there one in every region? What does that look like?
Some states have one very large one. Some states have some in every county. Depends on what their Scottish population is like. They're actually all over the world. There are most countries around the world as well. However, you're going to find a Scottish person, you probably will find a St. Andrew's Society.
I love that.
So basically, it's open to everybody. I mean, like, I know it's open to everybody, but if you're in Idaho, let's say, there's probably one there, and they could walk right in and say, okay, I want to join the St. Andrew's Society.
Absolutely. It's very open to everybody.
For people who've never been or learned about these, do they have to dress and wear anything in particular?
It's certainly encouraged, but it is not at all required. We have, I mean, people think of the Scots, they think of kilts, among other things. And we have a tartan designed in this state that is the official state of Rhode Island tartan. It's this tartan of the St. Andrew's Society of Rhode Island, and it's recognized by the Rhode Island General Assembly as the official state tartan. It's proprietary to us, and our tartan is manufactured in Scotland, and our kilts are made by McDonald kilt makers in West Calder, Scotland, which is about 25 minutes to the west of Edinburgh.
So cool. And Blake and I, of course, have been able to see it. You actually have it in a tie, I believe.
No, we gave it to your dad.
Oh, well, now I know a present that you'll be getting soon, my love.
We have more ties, Blake, if you'd like another one.
Well, I could tell you as a Scot at heart, but also a Viking in blood, I've really taken to wearing kilts. I have fully adopted it, and it's certainly... I think it's probably my preferred garb. If I could just walk around in a kilt all day, if it was like socially acceptable at work, then I would do that. But I wouldn't want to scare the ladies that are around me.
I would say as a gentleman, it's interesting because when you put your kilt on, you feel different. You feel special, and it's really the truth. And everybody I know that wears them says the same thing. But having said that, to answer your question, Mary, no, you don't need to have a kilt. You don't need to have a woman's kilt in our society. Our formal events tend to be more formal, but there are a lot of ways to dress up without necessarily wearing the Scottish garb.
I love that. Now, for people who are interested in becoming members, are there dues?
There are. Our dues are at the moment, are $25 a year for an individual and $40 a year for a family membership. And those go to defray the cost of some of the activities that we have during the year. We publish a newsletter three times a year. And we have events that we fund as well. So, but the dues are certainly affordable and reasonable, and it helps to keep the cost down.
I know you had said at the beginning, if I wanted to interject something, uh-huh. I do think you don't have to wear a Rhode Island kilt. You can wear your clan kilt as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Absolutely correct. Sure. And not only the clan kilt, you know, we have one of our members wears his United States Marine Corps kilt to everything. So yeah, for sure.
So in addition to all the events that you're putting on, I would love to know if there's any sort of charitable giving, if you're working in tandem with other groups. What does that look like in terms of the events and how you're putting them on and how you're also giving back to the community at the same time?
We have a couple of charities that we've supported now for several years. There's a charity. I'm a member of the board of directors, and the board of directors decided, as I said several years ago, that we would select a Scottish charity and a Rhode Island charity and to support them both. And here in Rhode Island, we support Macaulay Ministries, Macaulay House. And there's a charity in Scotland, the James Thin Charitable Trust, that does wonderful work, lots of work with the homeless. They do work with drug dependent folks in Edinburgh and Glasgow, and we've supported them for years as well. We also support the Rhode Island Highlanders Pipe Band We've done that for years and years. And then Patty can talk about perhaps the scholarship that we're looking into.
And I do believe that James that Folio Trust.
You're exactly
right. A few years ago, it changed his name.
We also,
when we see a need in the community, I know, for instance, where the Tartan picnic that's coming up, we saw a need that they were actually collecting food and some of the food banks that were really low. So we do ask people to bring food for different food banks now, also at our Christmas Kaylee. So if we see a need in the community, we do try to jump in and help when we can as well. And for the this centennial celebration, we're putting together a scholarship program. We don't have all the details complete at this time, but you can check out our website in October for more details as that transpires.
Let's talk about these fun events, because of course, this society is open to Scots and Scots at heart. And Blake and I host the Outlander Cast podcast. So we've got a lot of people who love Scotland, Scottish culture. They just can't get enough of it. And sadly, we are now in Droughtlander, where there are no new episodes of Outlander coming up. So people are looking for things to do. They're looking to wet their whistle and get involved a little bit more in Scottish events. So tell me a little bit more about some of the events that the Rhode Island St. Andrews Society puts on.
Well, this year we did extra special events. We usually have our barn supper in February. And as we had mentioned, the whiskey tasting, the picnic is next this coming weekend. We have a Christmas Kaylee. But this year, because it was our centennial celebration, we also did a curling event, which people loved to do curling, which is a very Scottish thing. This started in Scotland. We had a genealogy informational Zoom that people came into. You can also go to our website to learn how to find out what clan you might be in. We have a resident expert, Richmond, who can take your information and find what clan you came from. There's also recipes on the website, things about attire and all the different events. And Jim and Gail will be doing, very, very soon, will be doing how to make...
Haggis,
thank you. Jim and Gail will be doing a demonstration. We'll be putting it on our website on how to make haggis.
We've filmed a video, an instructional video on how to make haggis from scratch, which is a fascinating process. And it's in final production now, and it will probably be up and running, I would say, within the next few days. And there'll be information on our website as to how to access that and take a peek. And there'll be a recipe for how to do that, and as well as recipes of things to do with your haggis. Because for the folks that are listening, haggis is the national dish of Scotland. And no dish has ever gotten a more undeserved bad rap than haggis. Haggis is absolutely delicious. It's wonderful. It's extremely versatile, and for anybody who hasn't tried haggis, then they should run, not walk, for the ability to do so. So if they want to sample haggis, for example, and it's several of our events will feature the same haggis. Our Burn Supper that Patty mentioned is held every year in conjunction with Robert Burns's birthday, which is January 25th. Ours is usually about a week after that. They're held all over the world. And it's remarkable that Burns has been dead for, you know, more than 220 years. And nonetheless, his birthday is celebrated by hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world. And Burns, among his many, many, many brilliant poems and songs, penned the immortal Address to a Haggis. And that is a staple at our Burn Supper. It's a staple at our Tartan Bash. And it will also be performed at our 100th anniversary celebration in this October.
Jim, you said yourself that haggis has kind of got a bad rap, and I will admit that the first time I ever had haggis was actually at a Burn Supper that the St. Andrew Society put on. I think it was a couple of years ago now. It was the first time I ever went. I tried it, and I got to tell you, I quite liked it a lot, and especially with a little bit of drambuie on the top.
Yeah, well, that's the secret.
Yeah,
for the uneducated, drambuie is a liqueur made on the Isle of Skye, and it's a honeyed whiskey liqueur, and it is the absolute perfect complement to haggis. Although, as I said, haggis is very versatile. When we put our haggis making video up, you'll see that we made haggis puffs with whiskey cream sauce. We made Balmoral chicken, which is chicken stuffed with haggis and wrapped with bacon, though I'm an Italophile, so when I make it, I wrap it in prosciutto, but it's really kind of the same the same principle.
Can I have you come cook at my house?
Sure.
Wait, what does it cost to have you come by and just put together some recipes?
If we have to make haggis, it's going to take a while, that I can tell you.
So. Well, you know, just for those who haven't tried it yet, let me ask though, like, what is it? Honestly though, like, we're all kidding aside. What does it taste like
for people who've never had it?
Yeah, like people who are scared of it. I don't know.
It's nothing more than sausage meat. In effect, every culture has its poor people's food, and whether it's Italy, whether it's Germany, whether it's Poland, whether it's Scotland, whether it's Ethiopia, there's poor people's food. And sausage has been something that people have done for centuries. When you slaughter an animal and you've got odds and ends and things that don't quite fit, you've got to do something with them because, God forbid, you throw them away and go hungry at some other time. So that's, you know, it's a sausage made of offal and oats and a lot of spices. And it's like it's a spicy sausage, but it's just absolutely delicious.
I love that.
And Patty and Jim also, you had mentioned the whiskey tasting, and Patty, you had as well. I also have to ask, do you have a favorite whiskey that you like to take part of, or take, you know, just catch a little swig of every once in a while? That's
the one, dram.
Your go-to?
I have a few. I tend to prefer peatier whiskeys, which have a little bit more of a kind of a smoky taste, but there are a lot of folks that disagree. I don't know, Patty, how you feel.
Well, what I like the whiskey tasting is, first of all, they serve fabulous hors d'oeuvres that are complemented with the whiskey, and they give the history of the whiskey and what part of the country it's from. So every year I seem to have a new favorite. So
I love that. And just a different appreciation, right?
Right.
And Patty mentioned something very important. One of our members, God love him, is a professional chef. He'll be featured prominently in our haggis making video. And every year for the whiskey tasting, our whiskey master, Joe Muzzy, selects six different whiskeys from Scotland, from various regions, and our chef pairs them with six different foods. It's a fabulous, fabulous event. Folks that come to our whiskey tasting typically are just blown away.
Obviously, in the post-COVID timeframe, we've had to do some virtual events. Do you find ongoing that you have a few virtual events each year, or are they now going to be mostly in person?
We do have some virtual events. We actually have a book club that we have virtual. In fact, a couple of our members that have actually moved away still participate in our book club that's virtual. And because we're all over the state, it just makes attendance really easy and allows everyone to participate, which I think will keep that as an ongoing Zoom event.
Does someone, if someone's listening, for example, if one of our listeners is listening, maybe from Idaho, I don't know, and they connect with you, Jim, and you, Patty, and they say, you know what, I'd want to be a virtual member. Is that something, because you've had people move away, that you've ever had people who are from different states who still want to be a member but join in with these virtual events?
We would welcome them for sure.
Oh, for sure.
I'm just picturing people drooling over this online stuff who might say, but I don't live in Rhode Island. What want to know more about this? Well, so, of course, we've got this big celebration coming on up, which is the main reason that we're having you on here today, celebrating 100 years, a century of the Rhode Island St. Andrew Society. So let's go into it a little bit more. Tell us more about this event.
We decided to celebrate our anniversary in a big way. As we said, Patty has done a great job putting together several of the lead-up events that we've done throughout the year. But on October 22nd, we'll be having our major celebration at the Crown Plaza in Warwick. We've got, I think, an interesting evening. We have entertainment from Scotland. We have Jim and Susie Malcolm. Jim Malcolm is an award-winning Scottish singer and songwriter, and he's renowned over in the UK and has quite a following in the US. He's here in the States, and we arranged for him to come and perform at our event along with his wife, Susie. And our headliner is Bill Harley, who's a two-time Grammy-winning storyteller and is renowned for his work with children, but he also does storytelling for adults. I would say adult storytelling, but that kind of gives a little bit of a different connotation. So storytelling for adults. And you know, I've heard him do his Scottish themed work, and it's spellbinding is really the only word that I can use. And that's what he'll be doing for us at this event. In addition, we're going to have pipers, bagpipes and drums. And we have the great Mary Larson as our MC. We're very fortunate to do that.
The highlight of the evening, let me add. So,
yes.
Yeah, I'll co-sign on that.
And so it really should be a wonderful time. You know, with dinner and dancing and raffle and door prizes. We're going to be raffling off one of our kilts from a handmade kilt from Scotland, which is a big deal.
We're also going to be having Calling of the Clans, which is a fun event to watch if you've never seen it. It's very fun.
What happens for people who've never seen it, you know, for people who have no clue, what happens at the Calling of the Clans?
Each clan is called in, and there's usually two people from each clan, and they walk in and form a very large circle. It's usually done outdoors with you know, torches and lights, which obviously we can't do indoors, but they form a large circle, and each clan is called down to form a circle and starts off the event as a friendly way to, you know, not fight. Of course, we don't do that anymore.
Now, Outlander fans who obviously watch the show have been able to see this, granted, an Outlander version, not current 2023 in Warwick, Rhode Island.
In peaceful Rhode Island, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it depends how many beers we have beforehand. We'll figure that out.
When people are thinking, they're looking at their calendar, seeing, okay, Warwick, Rhode Island, awesome. What could they plan on wearing? What's the cost like? How long does this event take? Just so they can start to wrap their minds around it and get their calendars cleared out.
October 22nd is a Sunday evening. Our event begins at 5:30 with a cocktail hour. We'll have dinner thereafter and our evening of entertainment and dancing and raffle and such. 5:30 to 11 for those that are hardy enough to stay to the end. The cost is $75 for an adult ticket and $25 for a child 12 and under. That price is good through September 23rd. After September 23rd, it's $85 for an adult and $30 for a child. And our cutoff for ticket purchase is October 10th, since we have to, you know, let the Crown Plaza know how many guests we're expecting. So the more the merrier. And if you have any interest in having, you know, especially for your listeners, who maybe kind of live the Scottish life vicariously through Claire and Jamie and the gang. This is a real Scottish event, and it's an in-person event, and it's fascinating to experience it in person for those that haven't, whether it's the haggis, whether it's the pipes, whether it's, as Patty said, the calling of the clans and the wearing of the kilts, and the drinking of the whiskey. In person, it's a remarkably interesting thing. So, and it should be a really, really fun evening.
We've gone over some different things, but there are some people who do not have kilts or, you know, just looking at their wardrobe saying, what would I wear to this event? What ideas do we have for them?
Absolutely do not have to wear kilts. Some people prefer just to wear a tie or a sash, and some people prefer just to dress in casual streetwear. But it is anything you decide to wear you're comfortable in will be fine. We will not ban you at the door for not wearing a kilt.
Certainly, but having said that, it's a fairly formal event. This is you know, so something that you might wear to a wedding, let's say, or you might wear to.
It's a typical evening dress attire,
yes, exactly,
for a dinner dance.
This event is taking place at the Crown Plaza, which is a hotel. So for friends who maybe live outside Rhode Island, or maybe, God forbid, they live over 20 minutes from Warwick, are they able to maybe spend the night at the Crown Plaza? Do you know if there's any rooms available or any of the hotels nearby if they'd like to make a trip out of this?
I know the folks at the Crown Plaza indicated that they would be able to help us with accommodations for those that would need it, yes.
So my little ass, my daughter, she does Irish step dancing, and she's really, really good at it. And I had heard that you mentioned some dancing at the event. Is there going to be traditional Scottish dancing, or is it just like, hey, we're at a wedding and we're doing YMCA, or what does that look like? And does someone like me, do they have the ability to go ahead and learn this stuff and participate in some Scottish dancing, if that's even applicable.
Absolutely. Scottish dancing is a huge part of the culture. We actually did a flash mob at the Providence train station this year to the Outlander new theme song. We do have Scottish step dancing, Highland dancing. There's country dancing and Cayley. The St. Andrews of Rhode Island basically focuses on Cayley and country dancing. They're very simple to learn. The Cayley dancing usually involves different groups of 4 to 6. We do some demonstrations on how to do it. And we're just there to have fun. So we encourage you very much to join in. And it's okay to make mistakes, just have fun. We do offer a dance twice a month to learn the different dances. My favorite is Strip the Willow. There's also a Gay Gordon, a Virginia Reel. Those are some of the more popular dances that we do. You could check them out online and give yourself a little heads up if you wanted to, you know, not feel intimidated in any way.
And what I love about this is, like you said, it's an ongoing, you have these traditional Scottish dances take place in class form twice a month. And then if you're someone who's going to be coming to this celebration or one of the big events, you get to see it. So if maybe you have been a little nervous to try it out yourself, you could really get to see it. But also, you are welcome to learn. I know we've gone to the events, you know, we've been timid, but you're able to really kind of learn and watch a little bit and wet your whistle in case it is something that you want to try out.
It's more like I was timid. Mary was ready to go. She was ready to get up.
We encourage everyone to participate, and it is fun. Just for fun.
It is. It absolutely is.
Now, we've talked about this event, the food, the fashion, the dancing, the entertainment. How can someone get tickets if they're interested in coming to our event on October 22nd? Because it is coming up quick.
It is. So they can access our website, which is www.sasri, Sasri, St. Andrews Society of Rhode Island, .co, not .com, .co. And there's an event link there on our front page, but they can go directly to www.sasri.co/upcoming-events/, and that will bring you to our events page. And they're done sequentially. So if you look at our events page today, the first thing that pops up is our annual picnic, which will be this Saturday. And after that, the next event is the gala. And there is the description of the event, as well as a button through which one can purchase tickets online.
Awesome. And how many people are you projecting to come this year? I know, obviously, the COVID years, nobody could go.
It was
different. But how many people do you see have been coming lately? Do you expect more? What does that look like in terms of the group size?
Well, it's interesting because our overriding goal here in our 100th year is to celebrate our members.
Right.
But beyond that, we thought it was a good opportunity for an outreach. I've heard it estimated that there's something in the neighborhood of 6,000 Rhode Islanders of Scottish descent. And the vast majority probably don't have any idea that there's a St. Andrews Society of Rhode Island there for them to participate in, them, their friends, their family members. So we thought this was a good opportunity, this centennial year, to kind of have that outreach. So I honestly can't tell you what I think we're going to have for attendance, but we would love for folks like your listeners to come check us out. Check out the website. Please come check out the event. You won't be sorry. And you might find yourself hooked, and then you're in.
And after the celebration, what would be the next event, just in case people get excited and they say, I can't wait, I just want to make sure that I can continue up with events with the St. Andrews Society. What would be the next event this calendar year, just so people can look forward to that as well in their calendars?
The very next event is we're going to have kirking. The clans wear their kilts and attend a religious service to kind of give thanks for the ability to wear kilts, because it was something that kind of developed after the more draconian period of the clearances and the prohibitions, when the Scots were once again allowed to bring their tartan back out. And we're having that event, and as I said, I believe it's St. Mary's in Bristol. on November 11th. Thank you. Right. That's the Sunday. And after that, Patty, you can talk about the Kaylee, the Christmas Kaylee.
And what happens at the Christmas Kaylee?
Christmas Kaylee is potluck. Everybody brings a different dish to share. We have some Christmas baskets and lots of Christmas dancing. It's truly just a fun event to enjoy the holiday.
Wonderful. Which date will that be on?
November 12th, says my editor over here to my left, who also reminded me that this is at St. Michael's in Bristol.
Thank you, Gail.
All right, my friends, is there anything else that you would like to share?
I think J.K. Rowling said it well. She says there's magic in Scotland. And I think when you come to Scottish events with our St. Andrew's Society, I think that you can feel that.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Jim and Patty, for joining us here and for telling us about this amazing event coming up. Blake and I are so honored to be a part of it. And we hope our listeners tuning in, if you are in the Southern New England area, and if you're able to make it on over, especially those of you who are fellow Rhode Islanders, we would love to start celebrating with you and seeing you at future events. So thank you again so much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Patty Pereira and Jim Kelleher, ladies and gents.
Yay!
What do you think about that, Marvin?
I'm just so excited. And obviously, this is a different podcast episode than we've done in the past. Mm-hmm. We're not necessarily covering Outlander. But those of you who love Outlander the way we do, you're Scots at heart.
Yeah.
And so Blake and I not only wanted to share this amazing event that we would love for you to come to if you do live in and around Rhode Island. We know that we have several Outlander cast listeners who are right here in the Ocean State along with us and lots of friends nearby who could come for this fantastic evening, but also to inspire you that to look into St. Andrew Society's where you live, because events like this may be going on, and no matter where you are, you could potentially be taking part of some of the virtual events as well.
Especially if you're a, you know, a poser like me.
Exactly. Unless we find out. We never know, Blake. I'm hoping, I'm crossing my fingers that somewhere in your DNA lies some Scottish heritage. We will find out, my love.
Yes.
But nonetheless, friends, thank you so much for tuning into this very different episode of Outlander Cast. We are super excited about this event. We would love to see some of you there. And if you do end up going, please make sure that you reach out to Blake and I on our social media channels, as we want to make sure that we can say hello and hug you in real life.
Why not, man? All right, Marvin, are you ready to close this bad boy out?
I sure am.
All right, let's do that.
Thank you once again. Blake and I just love sharing things that we love, especially when they're related to Scotland with you. And it's just so nice to be able to chat with friends locally who are into the things that we are into and get to broaden our own horizons.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Outlander, but it's like, it's Outlander adjacent.
Yes,
you know what? I'll take it.
Same.
Hey, listen, if it's in Droughtlander and it's Outlander adjacent, might as well be me talking to Sam Heughan and Katrina Balfe. It's that special for me.
Well, friends, on that note, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.
Make sure you head to Rhode Island. Go see Mary MC this bad boy. Oh my God. Go see Rhode Island's Pat Benatar.
Stop it.
No. Rhode Island's own Joan Jett.
Oh my goodness.
Rockstar.
Enough.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.